I've had several things upon my heart and several things upon my mind and different ways I was going to approach the subject tonight. So I think what we'll do is just pick up where we were last week and not get into a lot of the other things. I would ask you, did anybody notice God's blessing upon us? God's working amongst us during this past year? Did you notice the Lord bringing one back into fellowship with the church? Did you notice the Lord adding a couple other people to our church membership roll? Did you notice the general attendance of the church is increased? Did you notice God's working amongst His people? Did you notice the increase in visitors? Regularly attending visitors that God has brought our way? Did you notice that there was a profession of faith over the past year? Did you notice? Did any of these things get your attention? Did you notice with all of this working of the Lord, the devil's countering and the devil's working against the blessings of God? Did you notice the springing up of maybe some division, some gossip, some other things going on that are not appropriate or scriptural? Did you notice the devil's countering? If the Lord blesses and the Lord works, the devil always counters. You can count on that. I just wonder if anybody notices these things. I wonder, those of you who are in the adult Sunday school class, if you noticed anything in the adult Sunday school class that built upon last Sunday night's message. Brother Luke wasn't here last Sunday night. Last Sunday night's message hasn't been posted yet. And yet he said some things in the last part of the adult Sunday school lesson this morning that were in 100% step equal with things the Lord brought before us last Sunday evening. You need to notice things like that. They're signs of God's working. And oh, how precious it is to see God work, even when it might be negative or it might be uncomfortable for us. Last week, we looked at our engaging to watch over one another in brotherly love. We have pledged, we have promised each other to keep an eye on each other. We've made that commitment to keep an eye on each other. To keep an eye, to watch over one another in brotherly love. To look at each other, to keep an eye on each other, and to go to one another when something pops up that shouldn't. Or when sin creeps in. Or the Lord lets the devil start leading someone astray. We have pledged and promised to do that. It is based wholly and completely on Scripture. More than anything else, I think, that is found in the church covenant, you find Scripture to support this phrase that we have promised to watch over one another in brotherly love. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, brethren. So he's not only addressing brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the churches of Galatia, but he's addressing that subject of brotherly love. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if you see someone overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, who aren't overtaken at that particular time, go to them, restore them, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. 2 Thessalonians was another passage we looked at that plainly shows us this phrase in our covenant is scriptural. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 13, 14, and 15. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Brethren, don't be weary in doing right. Don't be weary in keeping an eye on one another. Don't be weary in fulfilling your obligations as they're laid forth in the church covenant. If you see a man go contrary to the teachings of God's word, contrary to this epistle, Paul says, note that man, have no fellowship with him, that he may be ashamed, that he might be won, that he might be brought back. Don't count him as an enemy, though. Admonish him as a brother. Watch over one another in brotherly love. In Sunday school, we were told we need preaching against sin. We need our sins preached against. We need God's word preached to us. We need it. And when God brings the preaching of his word to us, and it steps on our toes, or it mentions our sin, or it gets us right where we live, we were asked the question, what do we do? Do we get mad? Or do we appreciate it? Are we thankful? Do we thank God? Does it accomplish God's will in our life? Last Sunday night, after services, a dear sister was going out, and she shared with me that she really appreciates this portion of the church covenant because it deals with our personal responsibilities, maybe more than any other part of the church covenant. And she appreciated last Sunday night's message as it dealt with our responsibility to keep an eye on one another and to go to one another and to work with one another concerning sin and backsliding and any spiritual needs. But she made a good point that I didn't make in my message. She basically pointed out that that's a two-way street, that responsibility. We promise, we have engaged to keep an eye on one another, to watch over one another in brotherly love. But not only have we promised to do that, but we have also promised in this portion of the covenant to receive that when it comes our direction. When we're the one somebody sees doing what they shouldn't. When we're the one somebody comes to and says, hey, I'm concerned, I'm troubled. When they come to us, we're not to get mad. We're covenanted not only to put it out, but we're covenanted to receive it. To receive that instruction that God might bring our way. And God help us to understand that. God help us to understand that. Because the shoe might be on the other foot one day, and you do nothing, you do no good at all by getting mad, by getting offended. If you've kept your eye on others with the thought of helping them if they were to get into sin, then you need to be thankful that somebody's keeping an eye on you, cares enough to come point out that shortfall in your life and be restored before you get too far down that particular road. Don't get mad. Get glad. Be glad and receive it just as readily as you dispense it. Don't forget, we have promised to watch over one another in brotherly love, and that's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. We tend to think of church too much as a social club. We forget that the church is the body of Christ. We forget the high calling that is upon our life by being made a part of one of the Lord's churches. And people are very quick to keep not an eye on one another, but to turn an eye, because they're more concerned with friendship. They're more concerned with social things. They're more concerned with political things. They think, let the pastor do that dirty work. And the pastor has that dirty work as a part of his calling. But this portion of the covenant doesn't include or involve the pastor. This part of the church covenant is strictly a member-to-member responsibility, a member owing each other these things. So God help us to keep an eye on one another, care enough to stand against sins, care enough to go to a brother or sister in Christ and in brotherly love. As I think one of the scriptures that was referenced in Sunday school was the scripture where it says, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Reprove, rebuke is one of the first two things that are mentioned there. God help us. It's not the pastor's job. People want to leave it to the pastor, force his hand and force him to do something about things in the church, and then They want to get mad at the pastor. They want to get mad at the preacher. I've often said, nothing unites people more than a common enemy. It's easy to make the pastor the common enemy, but you can't bring the pastor into this equation in any way, shape, or form tonight. This is a responsibility every member of the Lord's true church that's involved has to every other member. So don't pass the responsibility that is yours off to the pastor. Care enough. When people are getting into sin and people are getting into things that they ought to, don't congratulate them. Fulfill your duty. Fulfill your responsibility that is found in the church covenant. We spent a little time last week dealing with that subject of brotherly love. We looked at Cain. We looked at Jacob. We briefly looked at Joseph. We looked at David. These were all brothers. And we see in each one of those men that I just mentioned how brotherly love was displayed most of the time, shamefully. And we're not to love one another as brethren in any way that is seen in those four examples. Then it says in the next part of our church covenant, we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer. To remember each other in prayer. This is the easiest thing in the world to commit yourself to. The hardest thing in the world to actually do. It's easy as pie to say, I'm going to pray for you. It's easy to say, I'm praying for you. But it's a much more difficult thing to follow through and actually pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would say, according to Scripture, my understanding would be, it would be better not to do it than the promise and then not do it. You'd be better off not praying for a brother and sister in Christ than the promise to pray for them and forgetting to do it, or not caring enough to do that. We are obligated to remember each other in prayer. In the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. James 4, verse number 3. You ask, and you receive not. You pray, but you don't get. Why do we sometimes ask and receive not? Because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our own lusts. Prayer must be unselfish. Prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ must be totally with their benefit in mind. Prayer should not be offered up for selfish reasons. Prayer should not be offered up for a brother and sister in Christ so you'll feel better, or you'll feel like you've met your responsibility. Prayer must be unselfish. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer should be unselfish, and prayer ought to be sought. You have a responsibility as a member of this church when you have a need to seek the prayer of God's people. You have a responsibility to make sure the church knows that you're in need of prayer. We're living in the day and time of social media where the whole world knows our problems, but we don't ever tell the church what our problems are. The whole world can be talking about what's going on in our life because our life's an open book to the world. But God's people don't know what's going on. I don't know if people assume the pastor's going to hear about it, or they assume it'll trickle down and eventually get to, I don't know what it is. I know it's wrong. I know we are instructed here in this passage of James, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Call for the church. Call your brothers and sisters in Christ. Seek the prayer of God's people. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Seek the prayer of God's people. Let them know that you're standing in need, that they may pray for you. And above all things, don't get mad if nobody prays for you and it's because they don't know you have a need. You have that responsibility. Prayer in Scripture is always conditional. Matthew 21:22, Mark 11, verse 24 tells us we must pray believing. If we want to receive, we must pray believing. Book of John, chapter 14, verse 14, we are to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You want your prayers to be heard, it's going to have to be offered up in the name of Jesus Christ. John 15, verse number 7 says, if you want your prayers to be heard, you're going to have to abide in Christ. And there are other things that prayer is conditioned upon. And God's people would be well off and blessed to always remember, you want your prayer to be heard, make sure it's meeting the conditions of Scripture. So we have engaged to watch over one another in brotherly love. We have engaged to remember each other in prayer, to make sure our brothers and sisters know that we stand in need of prayer. This assembly needs to be careful to watch over one another, to be mindful of things that are going on in situations, so that you can act to help stay somebody from going too far.